Something about 2 weeks. I said, you don't know what that means. Leave it up to God.
Yes.
No need to try to figure it out, because yes. God's got it all in control.
Yes.
I feel wonderful.
Yes.
But I think in the Sunday school lesson, there were some things that was confirmed for me.
Yes.
Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help, God, I know. I ask you right now to have your way. Use me any way you see fit. God, I thank you that you have orchestrated things the way you want. Move Carolyn out of the way. Holy Ghost, take complete control. Do what seems good to you. Say what you want to say.
Yes, Father.
Do what you want to do. I'm here to be used any way you see fit. Have your way. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen.
In the Sunday school lesson this morning, as if we didn't know, but it was just confirmed or reaffirmed, that the scriptures are to be applied as our authoritative for our life. Jesus, our Savior and Lord, concluded and conducted his life and ministry in view of the scriptures. There was always the scribes and the Pharisees who was always trying to trick him up with crazy questions.
Yes.
But he didn't let that bother him. We, you and I, should accept Bible teachers with the same reverence given by Jesus.
Yes.
And we should seek, not try,
mm-hmm.
I said seek,
mm-hmm.
to live by them.
Yes.
Amen.
All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And is profitable, which means it is for our profit.
Yes.
For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, mm-hmm. for instructions in righteousness. But one thing that came out in the Sunday school, and it caused me to get my responsive reading, because I was trying to look and find. I said, uh-oh, we're going to have to go with the New Testament and the Old Testament. But it came out in the responsive reading. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Believers realize that faith that leads to eternal life is in the issue of the heart, and not in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now you heard read to you from the book of the Old Testament, from the book of Ecclesiastes. If the Lord say so, what I will be lifting up is verses 1 and 11, the first and the last. We find in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 1, we find these words. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. It is believed that King Solomon is the author of Ecclesiastes.
Mm-hmm.
and that he concealed his name because of his sin, that he brought trouble on himself and his kingdom, had broken peace with God. Sin always separates us from God. Mm-hmm. But like his father, King David, King Solomon, being brought to repentance, resolved to teach transgressors God's way and to give warning to all to take heed. Now, we heard that word, take heed, last Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. Pastor was talking to us about building on that sure foundation, and we need to take heed how we build. But it says in Ecclesiastes 12:9, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Mm-hmm. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Now, when I started studying last Sunday, I was sort of at the very beginning of Ecclesiastes. As the week went on, I had to read the whole thing. Now, I'm going to tell you, God don't change, but he'll change some things. Right. I was telling my sister, I said, you know what? I got to go a different way, because God is leading me a different way. Mm-hmm. God doesn't change, but he will change some things. Mm-hmm. But he's in charge, so he can do what he wants to do. Right. But as I read the entire book of Ecclesiastes, I had to keep going back, because there were some spiritual nuggets that God wanted me to have. Right. But a little quick synopsis. Throughout the book, the preacher tries to evaluate his life in terms of various goals. Mm-hmm. One can say that this book is an essay of comparison between the life of a person with God and a person with a God focus. The major theme, though, is vanity. Mm-hmm. In fact, he said, vanity of vanities. Yeah. Vanities of vanities, he kept saying. He said, all is vanity. Now, we know that King Solomon was a wise man, had lots of wisdom. So what is he talking about here when he said vanity? Vanity means something that is vain, futile, worthless, lacks usefulness, empty as to results. And I just want to point out a few things before I get into the meat of this message, what he was talking about. He shows us the vanity of those things which mankind commonly looks for. Happiness, human learning, sensual delight, honor, fame, power, riches, worldly possessions. And he also prescribes some remedies. But I want you to look quickly with me, if you just get your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes. We're going to look at a few things, and as the Holy Ghost leads, we're going to move on. But he talks about vanity in pleasure. Mm-hmm. I mean, know that sin is pleasure. Mm-hmm. The Bible says us. So he wants us to look like that. He said, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. Mm-hmm. Pleasure is vanity. He said there's vanity in human labor. Stay right in chapter 2. Let's look at verse 11. He said, then I looked on all the work. But let me back up a minute. We know a little bit about Solomon. Solomon was wise, but there were some things when you get from the wisdom of God, you stray way out there. But in this second chapter, he talks about, I made me great works. I built houses. I planted vineyards. I made me gardens, orchards. I planted trees, all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water. I got me servants. I got me maidens. I gathered me all the silver and gold. So I was great. He thought he had it going on.
Right.
When whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. He said, but then I looked on the works that my hand had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of the spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Now, as we go through this, and I didn't even give you a title, but I want to tell you, we're going to look at life from an eternal perspective. Mm-hmm. Because, see, if you start to look at life from day to day, well, you're going to mess up. You're going to be just like Solomon. But then he goes on down and talks about the vanity even more of human labor. In verse 17 in that same chapter, he said, therefore, I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, and for all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. He said, yeah, I hated all my labor which that I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that should be after me. Mm-hmm. All is vanity. Then he goes on. I want you to listen to this carefully. Look at chapter 5. Verses 1 and 2. He says, there's vanity in divine service. And he tells us, keep thy foot when I go to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give sacrifice of food. For they consider not they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thine heart be hastened to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Mm-hmm. If that weren't enough, he goes on to talk about the vanity of riches. Mm-hmm. Go with me to chapter 6. He said, all is vanity. Mm-hmm. Chapter 6. Verse 1. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God have given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanted nothing for his soul of all that he desired, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. Solomon is saying all is vanity. Can't take nothing, nothing with you. But as we walk through this, I want you to understand a few things. But as I started to read the book, I got a little bit concerned. I just have to tell you. So I had to keep on reading. And after I finished reading, well, I began to feel a little better when I got to the last chapter and the last few verses. I'll tell you about that in my conclusion. But we're certainly living in perilous times. Mm-hmm. We're exposing ourselves to the risk of harm or loss. We're trying to gain more, and we may lose it all. We're building bigger things, bigger bonds, which may be destroyed in a moment's time. Mm-hmm. We're laying up earthly treasures.
Come on, man.
And we're going to have to leave it to somebody else to enjoy. Mm-hmm. Matthew 6:19 tells us, lay not up for yourselves treasure up on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now, Pastor Davis admonished us the other Sunday, send out some timber every day for our heavenly home. Because you know what? One day, at God's appointed time, we're going to have to leave all our earthly possessions, our houses and land, our cars and our boats, our silver and our gold, and our M-O-N-E-Y. We've got to leave it all here, y'all. So the country preacher here, Solomon, tells us to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A season and a time. My brother might say, it's your season. I might say, it's my time. But I want you to look at this verb briefly with me. In general, we view season as a division of the year marked by changes in the weather, ecology, or hours of daylight. Maybe the meteorologist or the climatologist or one of those folks will say seasons results from the yearly orbit of the Earth around the sun. I don't know about that, but that's what they say. But this I do know, that seasonal changes occur because of the intensity of the sunlight that reaches the Earth's surfaces, where we get variation in things. I often wonder, why does the animals go and hibernate? Why does the bird migrate? Why do the plants lie there dormant? When we look at the four seasons, winter, spring, summer, and fall, all of these have an impact on us. It ranges from the food we eat. Right now is the season I like because I'm getting ready to plant something. The drinks we drink, the clothes we wear, the activities we actually take part in. A lot of us, this Memorial Day weekend, is going to be getting up, trying to get to the beach, get to the water. Each one of us don't have a preference as to which season we like the best, for whatever reason. But I want you to look at seasons from the perspective of the preacher who says, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now there's an appointed time for everything. There's an appointed time for Jesus to be born. Since when the fullness of time was come, Jesus was born. And there is a time for every event under heaven. The first thing we need to understand is this. God appoints the season and times. Now these words are for every person, in every place, in every circumstance. God has appointed times and seasons. The events of our life, the happy and the sad, the easy and the difficult, doesn't matter. On one hand, this can make us sort of weary or worry, but on the other hand, it should bring hope because we know what? God is in control. He's in control. I don't care what it looks like. God has even appointed a death date. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that the judgment. God exalts an almost the same person. He can raise up a nation, and he can bring the nation down. Three things about God that I know to be true. God is in control. Now, some of you might wonder about that. Crime is up. Abortion is happening. Homosexuality is on the rise. The nation is in debt. This can seem pretty discouraging. But I don't care. God still got it all under control. Now God has a purpose for our life. Many of you, or most of us, have probably read The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. But God has a purpose in what he does, even if we have a hard time understanding what the purpose is. So God is in control. We know that. God is unchangeable.
That's right.
Spring comes. Spring becomes summer. Summer becomes fall. Fall becomes winter. Winter becomes spring. The young become aged. The new things become old. The things and time change. Change is inevitable for us. But God does not change. And I'm so glad that God don't change. For he says, I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi 3:6. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8 says so. God is in control. God is unchanging. God is triune. Three person in one. Blessed Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. 1 John 5:7 declares, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. If that ain't enough, God is omnipotent, he's omnipresent, and he's omniscient. Omnipotent means he have unlimited or universal power, authority, or force. He can do anything, because it's all powerful. God is omnipresent. The fact of being present everywhere. Do you know anybody like that? I don't know nobody like that but God. I can only be one place at one time. And God is omniscient. Having total knowledge, he knows everything. You might think you can hide, but you can't hide from God. He knows everything.
Amen.
So we can conclude that the Father knows best, even though our weary eyes, they can't even see. We can be assured that he can do anything. He won't change his mind about us like some folks do. He's good all the time, not some of the time. This means we can count on him to always be there and to do the right thing. Now, when I think about time, we'll say this, I don't have enough time. I wish I had more time. The time is going fast. Our life revolves around time. What does time mean to you? How are you using your God-given time? What does time hold in store for you? Time ain't new to God. God has been working with time since the beginning. In fact, he's the originator of time. Even though they try to change times and different things, God is still God. But in the first phrase in Ecclesiastes 3:1, it gives us the right perspective on time. He said, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. The two words here, season and time, imply duration and a point in time. Because everything has a season, nothing, well, at least on earth, lasts forever. God has an appointed season for everything. Seasons have a beginning and an ending. They might be short-lived, but they ain't for a long time. Some people come into your life for a reason. Some come for a season. So when they go, don't worry about it. When they come and do what they need to do, they got to move on. The word translated time means a point in time. With any given season, there is a point in time which God has ordained everything to happen. No surprises we got. But this is what Solomon's thesis is. He said, every activity of mankind has a proper time and a predetermined duration. I believe our lives would be a lot less stressful if we recognize the omniscient hand of God that he has on appointed a time when things are to be done. And he has a predetermined duration for those things to last. So when something change, don't get all upset. God is in control.
That's right.
But Solomon tells us here, if we take a cross-section of life events, we'll see that life is full of seasons. There's a time for every purpose. In fact, you heard Minister Riley read, Solomon, he takes about 14 options of life, tearing down and building up, weeping and laughing, mourning and dancing, time to speak, a time to be silent, a time to be born, a time to die. He goes through all these contrasts and says, there's a time for everything. What time it is in your life? Now, there are three ways that I think that we can understand this. How Solomon says that we need to understand it. One is the humanistic approach. One is the fatalistic approach, and I'm going to do like Pastor D, I'm going to make up me a word. Shannon, check it out. I'm going to say it's the Solomonistic approach. Now, the humanistic approach is very popular today. This approach says it's when our human capacity to decide the time to do something. I'll decide when it's time for me to do whatever. Change jobs, go to school, go to bed, eat, get up, I'll decide. It's my decision. Mm-hmm. It's my right to choose. Yeah, we're free moral agents. God has let us choose some things. But sometimes we go a little bit too far. Mm-hmm. We let this human mind try to dictate what we're supposed to do, mm-hmm. as opposed to listening to God. Mm-hmm. Now we got that fatalistic approach. This says that all life has been predetermined. Every bit of my day, every season of my life, every event that happens to me has already been mapped out. And we say, oh, woe is me. I just got to accept it. For everybody don't think like us. And to the Muslim, they'll say, well, this is the will of Allah. To the Hindu, then they said, all has to do with karma. The law of cause and effect. It's because of my bad deeds. Oh, this is supposed to be it. Well, I can't do anything about it. It's beyond my control. Oh, it's just a matter of fate for me. I just need to accept it and move on. But here comes the real thing that the Solomonistic approach teaches. Solomon shares some observation on the subject of time. He wants us to know that God is the one who sets the time in season of life.
That's right.
He is the one who determines when we are born and when we die. Now, most of us can accept that fact. We can accept that there is a time to heal, a time to harvest. I know about that. It's time to plant. It's time to plant right now.
That's right.
But my harvest is not going to be until later. Miss Wheeler's not here today, but she'd be glad to know I planted some tomatoes. It's a time to build and a time to dance. Now, we don't have a problem with God being behind the good things of life. But is God the one who sets time for weeping, for tearing down, for killing? Now let's look at some of the tough issues of life. Does God really have a purpose for a little child dying? A loved one being struck with a debilitating disease or illness? A serious accident or plane crash wherein all is killed? Or maybe there's one survivor? Let me just tell you, there are some things we just do not understand. We will not understand until we get to our heavenly home. That's why you got to make sure you're going to get there. That's why you better be sitting up September every day. But as I read through this and kept reading and kept studying, there is a key phrase in 3:11 that tend to enlighten me a little bit. And it says, he has set the world in their hearts so that man can find out, that no man can find out the work that God making from the beginning to the end. In other words, God has put eternity in us. So this is why we got to begin to look at life from an eternal perspective. Everything that's going on today might upset you. But you're not here to stay. You're passing through. This is not your home.
That's right.
If you accepted Jesus and Christ, you on a journey. And during on this Christian journey, there are going to be some things that don't seem good. They'll seem downright difficult. They'll be real hard. But God is in control. And he can do exceeding above all we can ask or think. So we glean from this that God has set eternity in the heart of men. God has placed within our heart a curiosity about the future. He's made us so that we want to see beyond today. The songwriter tells us, take one day at a time. We all into next week, next month, next year.
That's
wonder
right.
what it's going to be like.
That's right.
But you know, we want to know why. We want to know the purpose of something. God, why is this happening to me? How many ever said that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got up two hands. God, what's wrong? Why is this happening to me? Parents, you know, even little children ask a lot of questions. You tell them to yourself, why? Tell themselves, why? They're full of why. Guess what? They have eternity in their hearts, too. Solomon is saying, without God, life don't make any sense. Unless we can see from the perspective of eternity, then the times and seasons of our life leave us very perplexed. things will appear just too difficult. They'll seem so complex, but we need to view them from a different perspective. We learned in Sunday school or talking about it, it's simple stuff. Stuff can be profound, but God has a simplistic way of doing things, but we make it complex. Mm-hmm. Cause we want all the answers. We want to act like we are God, know everything, mm-hmm. but we don't. In fact, we be trying to lean to our own little understanding to figure it out. And he'll say, don't lean to your own understanding. We need to simply look at life the way God wants us to. Now, when we do an obituary and we read, we always say, and they departed this life. We were made to look at events of this life from the perspective of eternity. Mm-hmm. We're not going to stay here forever, but we already have eternal life through Jesus Christ. If we rule out eternity out of the equation, life becomes meaningless. Mm-hmm. It has no meaning. We're just walking time, going through the motions, doesn't mean anything. But let me show you what this eternal perspective is like. In order to show you how an eternal perspective makes a difference, I need for you to review with me the life of Paul, Apostle Paul, and some of his writing. Think about it. Paul had been beaten up for his faith. He was put in prison for what he believed. You might think something has happened to you because you confess Jesus Christ among the non-Christian world. But I don't think you've been beaten up, maybe with words, and you sure have been put in prison because you're here. But that's what he wrote to the Christians in Rome. He said, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Romans 8:18. Paul said, this is a little nothing. You ain't seen nothing yet. You can't even begin to imagine. Unlike the summer, I can only imagine what it's going to be like. How could he say this so confidently? Because he had eternity in his heart. And we all know this. Paul wrote this too. And he said, and we know that what? That all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Whether you understand what your purpose is or not, God has a purpose for your life. Now, God ain't like some want to tell you all this and inflate your ego. But as we experience Jesus and all those different experiences that Hebrews talks about, moving on from dead work, repentance from dead work, faith towards God, the baptism, he tells us, you know, to lead them. Not that you're going to forsake them. You got to ever keep them and experience these things in Christ. But you don't need to stay there forever. Mm-hmm. You need to be growing in the things of God. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, that's an eternal perspective. All things are working together for my good, whether I understand it or not. They are. Here's another one. Paul was very adamant about this. He said, but I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, none of that stuff, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's an eternal perspective. You need to be looking at your life from an eternal perspective. Because of Jesus, we have eternal life. I'm about to finish, but I can see clearly a little bit better now. The fog is sort of out of the way after going through the book of Ecclesiastes.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Now I can focus on things from an eternal perspective. Try trying to figure out times and seasons of life without God is pointless. Mm-hmm. But to God, it's not, because it all has a meaning and a purpose. Mm-hmm. It's a part of what you said this morning, the big picture. Mm-hmm. It's a part of the big picture. It's a part of the eternal picture. Mm-hmm. And when is eternity? When does that start? Mm-hmm. Now. Yeah, not way by and by. Mm-hmm. God has an eternal view of your life and my life.
That's right. Come on, then.
What we see in this life is only a tiny fraction mm-hmm. of all that God sees for us. Your little weary eyes, my little weary eyes. See. Now moving back a little bit, and I'm about to go to my seat. He said, in the beginning, I told you I was going to tell you something in my conclusion. In this life, there are vanities of vanities. Mm-hmm. We are not going to get around it. But to everything, there's a season and a time for a purpose. Mm-hmm. I want to leave with you what the preacher said. He said in 3:14, he said, I know that whatsoever God doeth, mm-hmm. it shall be forever. Mm-hmm. Nothing can be put to it, mm-hmm. nor anything taken from it. Mm-hmm. And God doeth this, that men shall fear before him. Mm-hmm. That men should fear. That's the problem with our world today. Men don't fear God no more.
Right, yeah.
They just do anything. Take a life and can't give a life.
Mm-hmm.
Do all kinds of crazy things. And we sit them like, oh, did you see that on the news? Did you hear this?
Yeah.
What happened to the fear of God? I can remember growing up, that was taught in you, you better fear God.
Mm-hmm.
But the preacher said, let me give you the real conclusion. This is the conclusion of the whole matter.
Mm-hmm.
Fear God and keep his commandments.
That's right, that's
we
right.
talked about commandments this morning in Sunday school. But this is the whole duty of man.
Mm-hmm.
For God should bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. I don't care whether it's good or bad. God knows. Now, somebody said, well, how do we get the fear of God, and what really does that mean? We're not talking about fear that the devil brings. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a what? Sound mind. So when fear comes, that's torment. It's of the devil. It's not of God. But Solomon said, and let me say that he's talking about reverential fear. Reverencing God. He said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Yes.
Now we know there's a whole lot of intellectual knowledge mm-hmm. going on.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's running to the seminary to get some more knowledge. They got plenty of intellectual knowledge, but no revelation knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
They can quote the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation,
mm-hmm.
but don't have a clue what it means.
Yeah.
Or when the devil come in, like he did with Eve, and try to slide in a lie,
mm-hmm.
don't recognize it that the devil is misquoting what God has said.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what the preacher told us. He said in the book of Proverbs, he said, incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lean to your own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
He said, in all thy ways, what? Acknowledge him and he will direct. But we'll go running sometimes, think we know this,
mm-hmm.
think we know that.
Mm-hmm.
And we mess around and shipwreck and call
mm-hmm.
somebody
right.
else. But he said, crieth after knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Lift up thy voice for understanding. It's not just going to come easy. You're going to have to spend some quality time
mm-hmm.
with God,
yes.
some quiet time. God was telling Joshua, you should meditate on these words day and night, and then you're going to make your own way prosper. You're going to have
yeah.
good success.
Yeah.
So how can we have that special relationship with God if we're not spending time with him?
Mm-hmm.
Got to spend some time with him. And you can't always be doing all the talking. Got to let God talk
right.
to us.
Yeah.
I remember when I used to say, God, I got to have it. Give it to me now, quick, fast, Larry. Just telling God everything I want. And one day he spoke back to me. He said, I've already done that thing you asked me to do. Now get up from your pity party. So we got to learn to listen to God. He said we can ask. There's nothing wrong with asking. He knows everything. He know what we're going to ask for, we even ask. But he gives us that privilege to ask. But the communication got to be two way, not one way, not always going up and nothing coming down. We got to tune our ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. And he tells us to seek her as silver and search for her as a hid treasure. Let's say if I lost this ring that my husband gave me, I'd be searching for it. I'd be looking for it, Terrell.
I know you would.
And one day, I thought I had one day, I was in Duke and I thought I had lost it. I went flying in the bathroom. And my nephew said, what's wrong with you? Why are you looking at that? I said, I don't have my ring. I thought I had it. I don't know. I was just panicking. And I'm like, this is a materialistic thing.
Yeah.
You didn't lose your life.
Yeah.
Why are you looking like that? Like the king asked me, why is your countenance changed? When I thought I had lost it. So I had to learn to keep it on my fingers, y'all. But it says, you got to search for it as a hid treasure. Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. It's all right to read. It's all right to study. In fact, he tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed. Rightly divine the words of. But you got to sit and meditate and be quiet before the Lord so that you will hear what the Spirit is saying to you. And I hear the Lord saying, that's all we have to do sometimes. We can pray. We can praise. But sometimes he just wants us to be still and know that he's God.
He is God.
That he'll speak to you. Hallelujah. But he goes on to say, when wisdom enter thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion shall preserve you and understanding will keep you. And it will keep you in order to deliver you from the way of the evil man. Or for the man that speaks things that's not right. Today I admonish you to take hold of the eternal perspective for your life. Leave the seasons and times to God.
That's right.
He appoints them. You can't change one iota. And he says his word is not going to change. Heaven and earth may pass away, but his word ain't going to change. God honor his word. God doesn't change. We'll say, prayer changes things. Prayer don't change God. God is unchangeable. Prayer can change you and me. Change some things. But when I looked at the preacher, and what he said, I have to conclude, all is vanity. There's so many things that's going on in the world that make us wonder what's next. But God got what's next. He's got what is forever. And it behooves us to look to the author and finisher of our faith. And see, sometimes we think we're in faith. God will send a test and a trial. And we'll say, oh, woe is me. Why is this happening to me? But God is still in control. God isn't changing. We change. Say it again. Somebody's a witness to that. But I don't care what you're going through. It really doesn't matter, because God know all about it. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, hid from it. I'm so glad that I was able to read and reread and study, because now my perspective in life has changed. I'm going to ask that you go back and listen to what the preacher had to say in the Ecclesiastes. And I declare, if that word get in you and you get in that word, it will change you. you will begin to look at things in a different way. And we'll be able to see things from that eternal perspective. That's what God had for us. I know that this weekend is Memorial Weekend, and a lot of people looking back, thinking about what happened when this, and there's nothing wrong with the celebration that we have, but I think that's part of our problem. We get too hung up on celebrations. We major in the minors and miss out the most important things. All the things that's going on in the world this day and time, it's calling our attention to look at God. But we can get so busy and so caught up with the news, with our TV programs and things that we miss out. But we need to take some time set aside to spend with God. Because He appoints everything. And believe it or not, He'll tell you little things when you spend quality time with Him. Then you can have that peace that's a path of all understanding. Even though the storms of life are coming, I was sharing with my sister, even when I know my sister was, death was imminent, we had such a peace. And I said to her, you know, I can't even pray for her. I can pray for her son, because it's well.
That's right.
Despite of what you might be going through, God is in control. As long as it's well with your soul. But even so, in peace like a river attendeth my way. Sorrows and cares and things come. Whatever my lot He has taught me to say is well.
It's well.
Yes. It's well with my soul.
Yes.
What time it is in your life? Is it well with your soul? Are there some storm raging? Songwriter said, there's a storm out on the ocean. And it's moving this away. And if my soul is not anchored, I will surely slip away. There's your anchor hope and grip that solid rock. Are you sure that your anchor holds? This rock is Jesus. Are you standing on the solid rock? That's your foundation. Because see, there are things that are coming our way that'll make us sway. But He gonna hold us back. The mill said, my soul, hallelujah, is anchored in the Lord. My soul is anchored in the Lord. Look at your life from the eternal perspective.